You know, hi, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. You know, listen beyond that. And don't just respond, well, that's good. Listen. These are examples of things that Jesus did. And it's what he expects of each one of us. So, we are to encourage the desperate. We should also encourage the disciples. In Acts chapter 11, verses 22 and 23, it says, the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. When Jesus, or when the church in Jerusalem heard that there was a new group of believers in Antioch, you know, it just made sense to send Barnabas to them to help them along. The Bible tells us that he encouraged them. He was excited about what God was doing and how these new converts were serving the Lord. And he did his best to encourage them to carry on with God in spite of the persecution and things that were going on at that time. Again, there's the lesson here for us today. We ought to do everything in our power to encourage other believers in their walk with the Lord. We need to praise others when they labor for Jesus and gently rebuke our brothers when they stray, brothers or sisters. Our duty to our fellow believer is to help them to grow in the Lord and to be an encouragement to them. I'm going to jump over to Romans chapter 14, verse 19. It says, So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore encourage one another and build up one another just as you are doing. Now keep on keeping on. Refers to encouraging those who minister to you. You know, take time to thank those who print the bulletin, do the books, clean the church, dig up septic systems that have been plugged second time in a year because people are throwing paper towels in the toilets. They're just there doing those things. Lead the worship. Do the sound, projection, and especially your pastor, to encourage him. This day, by the way, Pastor Ron is back in Idaho, the church he was at. He went back to do a wedding, as you know. But he's at the church where, by the way, Pastor Earl Brubaker, who was our interim pastor here, is the pastor there now, is interim pastor there. And Pastor Ron is back there, and this just happens to be the one-year anniversary of his last Sunday that he was there. Isn't it amazing how God works those things out? And when he comes back next Sunday, will be the one-year anniversary of his first Sunday here. So I want to encourage you this morning to write some cards. Be sure to let him know when he comes back, the one-year anniversary, what he means to you. Not just thank you. Thank you is just kind of an idle word, isn't it? But thank you for. Okay? And be specific in ways that he's touched your life or how you're praying for him and his family. I want to encourage you to do that for him next Sunday when he's back here. To just bless him and encourage him. If you encourage your pastor like that, your pastor's going to just flourish in keeping on, and doing what God has called him to do. So we encourage the disciples. We also see that Barnabas encouraged the discouraged. In Acts 15, verses 36 to 40, After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return to visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord, and see how they are." Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Now, this story is, I love the way that Scripture is transparent, even in disagreements of these people. Paul and John Mark were together on a missionary earlier, and John Mark left them for some reason. Doesn't give specifics. He went home. He was a young guy and went home. And Paul, who had been encouraged by Barnabas, now saying, "Barnabas, here's a chance to encourage another young guy," Paul says, "No way. Not going to take him." Now, in Paul's defense, I believe that Paul, even when he was Saul, was a driven man. He was driven to what he believed in and did what he believed in, whether it was persecuting Christians or now as a believer. I'm sure he was hard on himself that we're here to do a task, and nothing can get in the way of that. And if John Mark might be a distraction, no, we can't do that. So that was Paul. But Barnabas, right? Who saw the bigger picture. And I see that God uses even things like this. Because before there was one missionary team, now there's two missionary teams, right? God used that to divide and conquer, right? So, two teams going out. Now, Barnabas wanted to give John Mark a second chance. And when he does this, he takes John Mark and he disappears from the biblical account. We don't hear about Barnabas anymore in Scripture. But his ministry to John Mark had far-reaching consequences. Because Barnabas gave this discouraged and defeated young man a second chance, his life as a servant of God was salvaged. In fact, before Paul died in Rome, he requested that Mark be sent to him in 2 Timothy 4:11. "You know, he's been valuable to me," he says. He wants him there. So obviously, as John Mark grew, their relationship was restored. And even more important is the fact that because Barnabas took the time to encourage a discouraged brother, Mark was used of the Lord to pen the Gospel of Mark, which gives us an exciting account about the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we all know the story of the Good Samaritan, right? Who stopped to bind up the wounds and offer care for a man who had been beaten by robbers, where some other religious people had passed on by, ignoring him. This Samaritan stopped. What a truth for you and me. How many times have you seen fellow believers fall by the wayside? Our natural tendency could be to wash our hands of them, step over them, walk on by, cluck our tongues, say shame on them. God's plan, however, is far different. We're not to kick our brother when he's down, but we're to reach out to them in a spirit of love and humility and help them be restored to a place of fellowship and service. Just a silly example of that I witnessed 2 years ago at a track meet in Brookings. It was a middle school track meet. 100-meter dash, girls' event, gun went off, they took off, 2 girls out in the lead, very close to each other. One of them stumbled and fell. The other girl took about two more steps, looked back, stopped, back, grabbed her hand, helped her up. Either of them won. They weren't teammates. I went over to her coach after, and I said, "Did they know each other?" Coach said, "No. She's a homeschooled girl. And that's just the way she is." That's just the way she is. What a testimony. Aren't you glad that God is a God of second chances? Even Jonah, called by God to do a task, and he says, "Okay, God, I'm going the other way," right? Thrown off a ship, swallowed by a big fish, spit out on the shore, and finally said, "Okay." You know, disappointed God, blew it big time. And Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time." See, there are no throwaways with God. Let's do the same for those around us. Let's prove ourselves to be encouragers as we reach out. So Barnabas reached out. He also reached up. The encourager, he has an upward ministry. His work doesn't merely reach out to those around him, but it also reaches up as it carries out the work God has given him to do in this life. And the first point, step of that, is to further the work of God. The encourager uses his spiritual gifts and love for the Lord and the Lord's people to see that the work of the Lord is carried out in this world. And he does it in three ways. And the first one is by promoting the work of God. Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37. It says, "Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles," which translated means "son of encouragement," "and who owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." So the first impression we're given about Barnabas is that he was a man who gave of himself freely. He gave of his goods to see that the church and its work went on. He used the things at his disposal to enhance the work of the Lord. And this describes how you and I ought to be as well. We ought to strive to give of our time, our tithes, our talents, so that the church can prosper and the burden of ministry doesn't fall on the shoulders of one or two people. When we give of ourselves and our stuff as we should, then others are encouraged to do the same. So, by promoting. Also by praising the work of God. Excuse me for a moment. Acts 11, verses 23 to 26. "Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And he left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Ah, what an exciting story. So Barnabas had seen all that the Lord was doing in Antioch. He went out to get Paul, share the news with him. Barnabas refused to keep the good blessings of God quiet. I pray that God would give us some people who will go out into the world and brag about what Jesus is doing. Right? May God give us some who will tell of the good prayer meeting, the people coming to know Christ, the good Bible studies, the backslider getting things right, people coming to know Christ. God answering prayers, even those sharing their own testimony of God's faithfulness. There are enough whiners and belly achers in this world. We need some who will exalt the work of God. If all people hear from you is how bad things are at church, why would they ever want to be a part of it? On the other hand, when we tell how great things are, when we tell them that we've been meeting with the Lord, and God is just blessing the Awana program, and Sunday school, and men's Bible study, and ladies' Bible studies, they'll be curious. They want to come to see what's going on in the church and in your life. Many years ago, we had a missionary speaker at this church, and the theme of his message was, catch on fire for God and people will come from miles around to watch you burn. Let's do that. Let's do that at Pacific Community Church. So by praising the work of God. And that also, by the way, encourages us. I know one time I was here years ago and somebody stopped off the highway going by. I think they were moving into the area, and they wanted to know about the church. And it had been going through some stuff, and I was kind of just, you know, how things kind of go along, and you just kind of go with it like that. But all of a sudden, I started showing the facility and talking to these people about church and the people in the church and things like that. And when they left, I was pumped about this church. Just from reviewing and thinking about it and the people that are here and the things that are going on. And then third, by participating in the work of God. Acts 13:1-3. Now there were at Antioch in the church. Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they were sent away. So the congregation recognized these people's hearts and ministry potential and said, set them apart for me. And they laid hands on them, and they were commissioned by the church to go out. So Barnabas was chosen by the Holy Spirit to be actively involved in the Lord's work. That decision changed the course of his life forever. From that moment on, where Barnabas went, he was a servant of the Lord. But listen, that's not just who he did, or what he did. I mean, that's who he was. Just like that little girl that lifted the other by the hand. That's who she is. That's who Barnabas was. So as we look at our hearts, we can ask, who am I? The lesson for us is obvious. No matter where we go in this world, we're servants of the Lord, right? Whether we're at home, at work, in town, vacation, etc., we're God's servants. We're live and act accordingly. We're missionaries, cleverly disguised as, you know, a driver ed instructor, whatever it might be. So, when we serve as an encouragement to others, others do the same. And it's an attitude that we have. Even when we think about our job, I remember some years ago I was at a Bible study. It was on a Sunday evening. We finished up the Bible study, and one of the guys, it was a men's Bible study, and one of the guys said, "Oh man, I have to go to work tomorrow." And one of the other guys said, "I get to go to work tomorrow." I thought, whoa, what a difference. You know, I get to go to, because God has called me to that. So whatever we do, says Colossians 3:17, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And then, in furthering the work of God, finish the work of the Lord, of God. Acts 12:25 says, then Barnabas and Saul returned to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem, when they had fulfilled their mission, taking along with them John, who was also called Mark. So at verse, this one tells us that Paul and Barnabas fulfilled their ministry. That is, they stayed with the work until the work was finished. As such, they stood as an encouragement to those around him. Don't give up. Don't quit. Successes, failures, don't quit. If you want your life to be an encouragement to those who watch you, then never leave a job unfinished. Be faithful to the task God has called you to, and stick with it until he calls you to a new job or until he calls you home. There's no room for quitting in the work of the Lord. My father had a saying that he repeated often to me when I was young. If a job is once begun, never leave it till it's done. Be the labor large or small, do it well or not at all. So we reach out, we reach up, we also have to reach in. Right? The encourager possesses an internal ministry, a ministry to self. And it's from this ministry that all the others go, the out and the up, are fueled. They all certainly go together. Needs of an encourager is able to demonstrate the reality of Jesus Christ to those around him. That reality in their own hearts and lives. So in doing this, you demonstrate Christ in your life. Acts 11:24 says, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. It identifies Barnabas was a genuine man of God. He possessed all the characteristics that marked him as being sold out and on fire for the Lord. His life served as an encouragement to holiness by being holy and blameless. Our lives, too, should stand as an encouragement to lead others deeper into their walk with the Lord. We do this by getting ourselves as close to God as we can. When others see the Lord working in and through us in the good times and the hard times, they'll be challenged and encouraged to seek the Lord for themselves and to become more like him. How do we go about getting close to the Lord? That's an impossible task apart from having God's Spirit live in you. In other words, knowing Jesus Christ, having him as your personal Savior, his Spirit working in you. It's only then that these can really happen. Then for the believer to immerse himself in the Word, spend time in prayer, turn his back on the world. So is that possible? Yeah, it is. Is it easy? Not always. Is it worth it? Yes. Here's God's promise to us in James 4:8. Draw near to God and cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He will draw near to you. Wow. What a promise. So we demonstrate Christ in your life. We also display contentment in your life. In Acts 13:49-52. In this passage, Barnabas, along with Paul, was preaching the word of God. As a result, persecution arose against them. They were forced to leave town. Instead of being discouraged and quitting, as a lot of others would do, they shook the dust from their feet and went on rejoicing. I believe what they were doing was saying that after that very difficult defeat, okay, God closed that door. What else does he have for us? Where does he want us to go next? What does he want me to do? That stands as an encouragement to others who are going through life's battle. We show the true depth of our faith when we're in the valley, when we go through hard times. That really demonstrates what's down in the well, right? We show how real our faith in God is by how we react to difficulty and hardship. We should always strive to react to adversity by expressing joy and faith in the Lord. And we certainly heard about that in Sunday school this morning. Think about the life of Job. In Job chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, says that Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell to the ground and worshipped. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Wow. We'll tend to be an encouragement to those around us. Our faith and joy will help them when they too face dark days. So, in conclusion, I look at Barnabas and realize just how far I have to go to reach his level. How about you? But if I know my heart this morning, I know that I really want to be an encourager. Wouldn't you like your life to be remembered by that of an encourager? Saying, that's just the way they are. Came across this saying. It says, "Flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you. But encourage me and I will not forget you." Let's pray. God, thank you. I thank you this morning for the masters of encouragement, mothers here this morning. But Lord, for the example of Paul, of Barnabas this morning that we've seen, help us to learn from him. Help us to strive to be encouragers of those going through challenges and difficulties and hard times. Just use us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.